translation. The cowherd women, riding on the bullock carts, were dressed very nicely with excellent garments and their bodies. Especially their breasts were decorated with fresh kumkum powder. As they rode, they began to chant with great pleasure the pastimes of Krishna. Text 34. Thus hearing about the pleasure of Krishna and Balaram with great pleasure, Mother Yasoda and Rohini Dev, so as to not be separated from Krishna and Balaram for even a moment, got up with them on one bullock cart. In this situation, they all looked very beautiful. Purport. It appears that Mother Yasoda and Rohini could not be separated from Krishna Balaram even for a moment. They used to pass their time either by taking care of Krishna and Balaram or by chanting about their pastimes. Thus, Mother Yasoda and Rohini looked very beautiful. So it's very nice that in the last line it says they looked very beautiful. And they didn't just look very beautiful because they were beautiful ladies, but they looked very beautiful because they were constantly absorbed in serving, glorifying Krishna and Balaram. And therefore, their beauty was purity. Oh, that was the real beauty. Then we go to text 35. Translation. In this way, they entered Vrindavan, where it is always pleasing to live in all seasons. They made a temporary place to inhabit by placing their bullock carts around them in the shape of a half moon. Purport. As stated in the Vishnu Purana, Sakati Vata Paryantas Chandrada Karasanstite. As stated in the Harivamsa, Kantakibi Pravridabis Tata Kantakibir Drumai Nikatotsrita Sakabir Abiguptam Samantataha. There was no need to make fences all around. One side was already defended by thorn trees, and thus the thorn trees, the bullock carts, and the animals encircled the inhabitants in their temporary residence. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gyanandana Salakaya Shakshuran Minitam Yena Tasmai Si Gurve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Siguro Si Yutapada Kamalam Sigurun Vaisnavamstha Si Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Ditam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Purijana Saitam Krishna Titanya Devam Si Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sivisakam Vitamstha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Visabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vanchaka Padrubhyacha Kripa Sindhubhyeva cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaisnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The cowherd men and women from Vrindavan had no other interest than the welfare of Krishna and Balaram. And therefore, although they had lived very comfortably in Gokul, where everything was very nicely arranged, in an opulent palace, still, when Upananda, the elder brother of Nanda Maharaj, who was very humble by nature, because although Upananda was really destined by birth to be the king of the cowherd men, when Upananda saw that his younger brother Nanda was so qualified, then Upananda decided that he must be king. And Upananda stepped aside and gave the throne to his brother Nanda. But Upananda, of course, was still there as an elder brother. And although for the Brijbasis, Nanda Maharaj's word was the ultimate, for Nanda Maharaj, whatever Upananda said could not be ignored. And therefore, when Upananda mentioned that maybe they should leave Gokul, Nanda Maharaj immediately wasn't thinking, but what about my lapis lazuli columns? Right? As we might be thinking, you know, what am I leaving behind? Yeah, we got a whole, we got a nice pet here, you know. We worked hard for it. We have established ourselves here and we want to move, but we can't just move. You know, first we got to sell the place, you know, and who's going to buy it? Right? Yeah. But nothing of the sort, right? No such calculations were there about how to land comfortably in the material world while chanting Hare Krishna, right? Which could be a title of a lecture, maybe this one. No, not in that way. Rather, they were going directly with the words of Upananda. Yes, for Krishna and Balaram, it would certainly be better to move here because somehow or other there seemed to be a curse on the place. So many demons were appearing and so on, one after the other. Better go. And they left. And they just got their bullock carts, which had a canopy on them, and they would go and put whatever they could on the bullock carts and were ready to move. And just simply stayed the night in the camp, and we see that Yasoda, Rohini, and all the ladies, they also, they didn't think, but what about my home? They were just thinking about the welfare of Krishna and Balaram. And that is the glory of Vrindavan. That the welfare of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is all that matters. His comfort, his, and for him, we'll make all adjustments and somehow or other, that will be our life. This spirit, this is the spirit of devotional service, of pure devotional service. Of course, we see not that they just walked away in the night carrying Krishna Balaram without any plan or something like that. Right? I'm so surrendered, I'm not making any plan whatsoever. I just leave it entirely up to Krishna. I cross the street and if a car is going to hit me, then it's going to hit me. You know, I don't look left or right, nothing, because Krishna is protecting me, Baba. What you are, you know, counting on your material skills and calculating, looking left and right, you have no faith in the Lord. Padam, padam, yatvipatam, natesam, danger at every step in this material world. So, therefore, the cowherd men, as we see, they did make arrangements. They did make normal material arrangements to protect themselves, to feed themselves, whatever the basic material needs they were arranging for. But they were in itself not attached to material arrangements per se. Therefore, they could easily leave Koko. And now they were there in a camp, but nicely arranged. They knew what to do. There was a tradition, and they made a mobile village, a camp, a semicircle, the carts in a semicircle, thorn bushes on another side. In this way, there was protection from the natural dangers of material life. So even these devotees, even the direct associates of Krishna, who were living in the holy dham, which is non-different from the spiritual world, but still they had to face the onslaughts of the material world, because even that holy dham is covered by a layer of yoga maya, which make it appear like an ordinary place in the material world. And still, there also, birth, death, old age, disease, and all the various onslaughts of material existence are present. So they made the proper arrangements. So we see that sometimes in some religious traditions there is this thing: we will not take this medical treatment. Right? We will rely on the Lord. But that is not Krishna consciousness. In Krishna consciousness, we are also to understand that it's the Lord who has arranged that the medical treatment is available. Therefore, we are relying on material arrangements and are meant to make them. Right? But at the same time, in a spirit of Vairagya, Vijja, Nija, Bhakti, Yogam, Vairagya is a foundation, or renunciation is a foundation of Lord Chaitanya's movement. Therefore, every Vaishnava will try to simplify the entanglement with the material energy. Therefore, here we're reading about the ideal world. So it's good. I mean, it's said, Rite ritam yat pratiyet na pratiyet chatmani tad vityat atmanu mayam tamo balsa tamo. No, I forgot something. Anyway, whatever. Basically, this Bhagavatam verse is making the point that we are measuring the value of something by its relationship with Krishna. Then we understand how important something is. And suddenly we see here the ideal world in this chapter. So it's not London after all. Yeah? You know, as an afterthought, the whole world that exists with all its very comfortable artificial arrangements is not the ideal world, actually. That Vrindavan world is ideal. Of course, Vrindavan in many ways is still like it was 5,000 years ago. If you go out to the villages, people still have the same culture. You can still see some boys going with buffaloes and cows to the Yamuna. As it's described that in the early morning, there were like two rivers flowing of a white river, and which was like the Ganga, the Akash Ganga, the heavenly Ganga, and a black river, which was like the river of buffaloes, coming out of all the goshalas of Nanda Maharaj. And all these buffaloes and all these cows would roam through over the forest path and meadows and fields and along with the cowherd boys. And it's not difficult in a village to see some kids, right, with some some cows or bullocks and baiting them in the Yamuna. You see some kid standing on the back of the Yamuna, and it's like, you know, it's not hard to sort of imagine a peacock feather right there, and suddenly you realize here it's so close still today to what it was. From what we read here, the weather was a bit better in those days. it's described that it was a place where it was always very pleasant. It wasn't that you get roasted and toasted in the summer and then you go for a couple of months into the fridge, right? And in between there are just transit seasons, because that's how it is in Vrindavan. Either you get baked. I've done many summers there and you really feel like you get baked. And there's also been some summers that I would leave. And I remember that one year I came back and I saw the devotees that had stayed in Vrindavan, and they looked like baked apples. They literally looked dried up. The skin was all dried up. It was visibly so. Yeah, Vrindavan summer. Yeah, what to say. But how nice is Vrindavan? My nicest time in Vrindavan was when I stayed there from 78 to 84. Because in that time, we still tried to live very simple and tried to not infringe upon the Dham with our Western culture. Moksha Lakshmi is smiling because she was also there. And anyway, and it was really nice because everything was simple. You'd get your sweet drinking water from the well, you know, like in front of the temple, which is now part of Srila Prabhupada Samadhi Museum. You get like other... I stayed in the on the Goshala land and had to get water from the well in the morning. And in that way, you know, pulling up buckets of water, you do your exercise every day, right? I mean, you don't need to worry, you know, like about your health. You're pulling buckets of water. Your drinking water is in a clay pot. You sleep on a mat. And actually, all that is just really favorable. You wake up in the morning at about 3 o'clock it begins, the noise of the peacocks, which would go like an echo from one side of Vrindavan to the other. One side the peacocks scream, another one answers, go all over like waves of sound. Instead of some horrible alarm clock, beep, 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 or a phone with some whatever lovely sound. Are you ready to wake up? Some Apple program. So how nice this simplicity was, full of austerity, but an austerity naturally leading towards Krishna, dependence on Krishna. Everything favorable for devotional service. Whereas all the cushy artificial arrangements in artificial societies are weakening our determination in spiritual life, and we are struggling with the basics. And sometimes we think that, oh, spiritual life is so difficult. And maybe one reason why it is because our life is, the culture in which we live is so remote from the simple spiritual culture of Vrindavan. And the more close it gets, the better it is. Anyway, the essence of that culture is constant worship, constant remembrance, constant glorification of Krishna. Somehow or other, remember Krishna. Simple things, like this morning also, before chanting, I thought, let me just read a little bit just to absorb my mind. So I picked up the 10th canto and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentaries on the 10th canto, and it opened up at the cowherd boys who were hungry and the Vedic brahmanas who were doing a sacrifice to the demigods and a karmakanda sacrifice and the wives of the brahmanas. And then it was described how Krishna was just standing there with his hair tied in a top knot with a peacock feather stuck into it. And just that image, that now I visualized it sort of for a moment. I saw Krishna with a top knot and a peacock feather, and then I started chanting. And I said, "Now, you know, nice, right? A little, just for a moment, a little remembrance of Krishna in his holy dham, just for a moment, a description." And we don't always think of Krishna with his hair in a top knot and the peacock feather stuck in there. But this morning I did, and then start chanting. How nice just to remember Vrindavan. Not just, I have to chant my 16 rounds and I got to do it quick because I got a busy day, got a lot to do, got like, you know, I got lots and lots of people to meet, lots of things to do, lots of things to get done. And, you know, I got to chant between this and this time. And if I don't do it, I'll be in trouble later on. Then I got to chant the rest in the car. All kinds of things. So not that kind of start to the rounds, but just a moment, forget it. Think of Vrindavan. So, it's very nice. Vrindavan is surrounding us everywhere. The altar, it's Vrindavan, because Krishna is there and brings his spiritual abode with him. The Bhagavatam is leading up to these descriptions of the 10th canto. And that is why we must read the Bhagavatam. Sometimes in India, they say, but Swamiji, why not the Gita? The Gita is not sufficient. No, it's not sufficient. How can you say like this? This is bad. Gita is the words of Krishna himself. You are minimizing the words of Krishna. No, not that. Of course, the Gita is wonderful. But we want to read the Bhagavatam because there are all these detailed descriptions of Krishna in Vrindavan. So sweet, so inspiring. We need it because when it comes to in the fifth canto of Bhagavatam, there is Lord Rishabhdev, right? And Lord Rishabhdev, he is following a process which is described there as Jada Yoga. Jada Yoga. The process of being like a stone. Stone, not, no D. Stone. Being like a stone. And that stone is, it means basically tolerate everything. Everything. Well, that's extremely difficult because it is said in Kali Yuga Mandusaman Matiyo Mandabhagi, he upadruta, the last word, upadruta is what I'm after. Always agitated. Always agitated. So the basic condition of everyone in the age of Kali is they're always agitated. Something is just agitating us every moment. Yeah. It's a state of being. It's how we go through the world. There is agitated, more agitated, and most agitated. Right? But agitated, right? So a path of Jada Yoga, a path of tolerance, doesn't look realistic, right? And nayam deho deha bajam nirloke kastankamam arate vidbujyam ye tapo divyam putraki yena satram. That one has to just do tapo divyam, divine austerity. The austerity which will elevate us eventually above the three modes of material nature to Brahma Sukha, to transcendental happiness. Yeah, if austerity is the process, that will be very hard. So the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are not so much into austerity. We're doing, but less. The first Gaur Purnima I ever celebrated, somehow or other, was in the Bhaktivedanta manner. And I was engaged in, first of all, it was a whole day fast, and it was of my first whole day fast. And there was going to be a Harinam in the evening, Maharinam, with all the London devotees. And we had to the whole day roll sweet balls. And that reception room was an ocean of sweets. And I was just sitting there like fasting in an ocean of sweets. It was like the toughest fast I ever experienced. Right? And I couldn't understand it. Why are we doing this? Why are we fasting and surrounding ourselves with delicacies? Right? What a strange process. I couldn't quite capture it at the time. Because I wasn't so Krishna conscious. So I wasn't thinking, these are for Krishna. That element was still missing in my vision. But yes, all these sweets were offered to Krishna and later distributed all over London. So it was very nice, actually. The mercy of Lord Chaitanya was flooding London. So when Krishna is in the center, everything is fine. We are not needed to do too much austerity. The essence is the sweetness. That is what drives us. Not denial. Not giving up this. Not giving up that. But simply embracing service to Krishna. Simply embracing hearing about Krishna. Just that one little passage about the top knot with the peacock feather gave my rounds a boost this morning and took him away from the level of austerity. From, okay, here we go again, 16 to go. Okay, no, was actually, yeah, top knot with peacock feather. Tops, mate. It was nice. So, here is the great gift. The great gift of the Supreme Lord, of the Acharyas, of the Lord who arranged that Maharaj Pariksit was somehow or other cursed by that upstart Brahmana boy to die within 7 days from snake bite. And then Sukadev Goswami appeared to speak, to reveal this transcendental path, this transcendental Leela of Krishna. And this Leela of Krishna is described as Leela Nara, Leela Naravapu. Leela Naravapu. It is when Krishna and these cowherd boys had successfully received all the offerings of these Brahmana ladies. Right? And finally, when they finally sat down to honor all that prasadam, then Krishna and Balaram were just as eager to eat as all these other boys. And that is the Leela Naravapu. That is the human nature of the pastimes of Krishna. And this human nature of Krishna, that is why Krishna, why he is our exclusive deity. That is why we turn to Lord Ramachandra, but ultimately, after we have followed the path of Dharma, then we come to Krishna. And then it becomes Kechit Kevalaya Bhaktya Vasudev Parayana. Then it becomes exclusively Krishna, because the pastimes of Krishna are most sweet, more sweet, in no other form. Is the Lord manifesting all these such opulences? We were just having a philosophical discussion on the farm, in the Nasringa farm in Germany for Chaturdasi. I was giving a talk and someone asked me a question about something I had forgotten. Right? I had read it, but I'd forgotten it. And that was why particularly Lord Nrisimhadev is given more prominence in the worship in our society. I'd read it and I'd heard it, but it's sort of, I guess, old age. They say that over time, worms in the brain are eating holes in the brain, and that then you actually forget things, just that you know. So I must have some holes. Whatever, I forgot. So why is Lord Nrisimhadev more prominent? Is because that's stated in the Lagu Bhagavatamrita that Lord Ramachandra, Lord Nrisimha, and Lord Krishna are all Sadaisvarya Purna. They all have these six opulences in full. All wealth, all beauty, all renunciation, all fame, all strength, and all renunciation, all that. Yeah? Sanam bhagami tinganam. So they have this Aisvaryasya, Samagrasya, Viryasi, Asasa, Shriya. So in that way, Lord Ramachandra also, all the six opulences in full. But yet, then Krishna performs these extraordinary sweet pastimes that only he performs. And therefore, that is one of the unique qualities of Krishna. Therefore, kichit kevalaya bhaktya vasudev parayana. Therefore, the movement of Lord Chaitanya is just talking Krishna, 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 Krishna. Always Krishna. Okay, any other deity? Yes, pranams. My dear Lord Narayan, the gopis said, please accept our humble obeisances. Have you seen Krishna? Have you seen Krishna? So, gopi bharta pada kamaliyo dasana dasana das. We are just following in the footsteps of the gopis. What does it mean? That means kichit kevalaya bhaktya vasudev parayana. Only Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Only finding out about Krishna and about Vrindavan. So this is really the ideal lifestyle. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada started communities all over the world, known as Gita Nagari, known as New Vrindavan, New Mayapur, and so on, all with the idea, let there be the culture of Vrindavan. Let there be that same culture of simplicity, of not wasting too much energy in complex material arrangements, and then glorifying Krishna. Of course, the Bhaktivedanta manner was not exactly conceived like that. The Bhaktivedanta Manor was Prabhupada's European headquarters, without a doubt, from where he sat as a general on the lawn, thinking of how to conquer, how to spread Krishna consciousness widely. So this is a Sankirtan base. There's no doubt about it, right? It's what it is. Well, of course, a little bit of Vrindavan we can have also. But Sankirtan here is our meditation, how to preach. But what can we preach? Harisori wanted to leave Prabhupada's service and said, I want to go and preach. And Prabhupada said, what will you preach? What can you preach? What will you preach? I am preaching, Prabhupada said. What can we preach when we are not fulfilled, when the heart is not full, when the heart has not become Vrindavan? Vrindavan is existing in three ways. It exists as Golok Vrindavan. It exists as Boma Vrindavan, spiritual world Vrindavan, Vrindavan on earth, and it exists as a state of consciousness, as Jiva Goswami explains in the Sandarbhas. So consciousness is a symptom of the soul, right? So the soul, the liberated soul, is in Vrindavan. The soul is situated in the region of the heart. Therefore, the heart has to become Vrindavan. And Sri Chaitanya said that my mind is Vrindavan. He said, for most people, the mind and the heart are the same. So in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also confirms this point. So let us understand that in this way, wherever we are, we should come to the point of always residing in Vrindavan. Therefore, in a very early stage, Srila Prabhupada gave the Krishna book. He gave the Krishna book so that we could cultivate that remembrance of Vrindavan, so that we could come to that stage. So that is what we are receiving here. We are receiving slowly an entrance into Vrindavan, an awakening of that spiritual world within. And then we are Ihayasya Haryadashi Karmana Manasagiri Nikila Swapi Avastu Sujiva Muktasa Uchite. Then we're already liberated souls, even while being in this material world. So how nice, actually, to read a little bit about how the residents of Vrindavan made Krishna and Balaram the very center of their life. And in a very joyful mood, very happily. Not like, well, we must do this because we must be Krishna conscious, so we must, you know, always put Krishna in the center of Prabhu's. Very important, you know. I mean, don't forget, you know, to always remember Krishna, never forget him. You have to put Krishna in the center, right? Remember. No. What else could be in the center? There was nothing else worthy of putting in the center. Krishna and Balaram in the center. Thank you very much. Any questions, any comments?